Monday nights, I'm encouraging each of you to take the hour of prayer, 7 p.m. to 8 p.m., and gather your family in your living room or at your dining room table and really give yourselves that hour for family altar. And in that family altar time, pray, just a simple prayer. You don't have to be big experts with big words, but just a simple prayer. Lord, meet us here. Join us in this time, and may we learn from you. In Jesus' name, amen. Something like that. And then just talk with one another about the things of the Lord. Invite conversation. Or if somebody's struggling with something, talk about it. Just invite God into the middle of that. If something awesome happened, celebrate it together. And in that time, find a way to bring Christ into the center of your home. I think the big takeaway that we want to have from the whole COVID season is that we had the house of the Lord shift from this building to our very own living rooms. We, of course, are the house of the Lord, each of us living stones, you know that. But we brought the Ark of the Covenant, as it were, into our own homes. And some of you may remember a number of weeks back, I was preaching on the story of Obed-Edom and how he got the Ark of the Covenant in his house for 3 months. And we kind of had that too. Church came home for 3 months. And I want to make sure we don't lose the power of that. So I'm encouraging each of you, Monday nights, 7 to 8, set that time aside. If you're out at the beach, you know what? Gather everybody together. Sit down and say, for the next hour, we're just going to pray and talk and be family and allow Jesus to be number one right here. Okay, you got it? And during that time, if you want to pray, we encourage that, of course. Pray for the church. Pray for your family. Pray for your church family, that is, and pray that God will bless the work of our hands here, and that many people will come to the light that is Jesus Christ because of our lives shining in the midst of a dark place. Amen? Okay, now let's take an opportunity to go to the Word. Are you guys ready? Have you got your Bibles? I'm going to invite you to open up to the Gospel of Mark, and we can officially start the clock and see if I can do this in 15 minutes or less. And miracles do happen. Lord, as we turn to your word right now, I pray that you would open up our hearts to understand you and to know you in deeper ways. We pray for your Holy Spirit's guidance in Jesus' name. Amen. Mark chapter 1 and verse 40. In verse 40, and a leper came to him, that is to Jesus, imploring him and kneeling, said to him, "If you will, you can make me clean." Moved with pity, he stretched out his hand and he touched him and said to him, "I will, be clean." And immediately the leprosy left him and he was made clean. "See that you say nothing to anyone, but go, show yourself to the priest and offer for your cleansing what Moses commanded for a proof to them." But he went out and began to talk freely about it and to spread the news so that Jesus could no longer openly enter a town, but was out in desolate places, and people were coming to him from every quarter. Now, just look across the page in Mark chapter 3 and verse 1. Again, he entered the synagogue, and a man was there with a withered hand. And they watched Jesus to see whether he would heal him on the Sabbath, so that they might accuse him. And he said to the man with the withered hand, "Come here." And he said to them, "Is it lawful on the Sabbath to do good or to do harm, to save life or to kill?" But they were silent. And he looked around at them with anger, grieved at the hardness of their hearts, and said to the man, "Stretch out your hand." He stretched it out, and his hand was restored. And the Pharisees went out and immediately held counsel with the Herodians against him, how to destroy him. Well, I've titled my little sermonette this morning, "Stretch Out Your Hand." In both of these stories, there was a stretching of the hand. And we want to talk about that in a sort of a figurative sense, an application, hopefully, to each of our lives. I believe that Jesus has come to heal and to restore. I believe he has come to heal us and to restore us. I believe that Jesus has come to heal me and to restore me. In these original stories right here, the Gospel of Mark being possibly the first of the Gospels to be written, not quite sure because we weren't there, but a lot of scholars think it's kind of the primary source and Matthew and Luke borrow from Mark. I don't know if that's true or not, but in this original writing and in the beginning of this story where we're learning about Jesus in chapter 1 and chapter 3, Mark, who we believe was writing for the Apostle Peter, is telling us some things about Jesus' mission. The first few chapters of Mark are really quite telling because of the highlights that Mark gives for the different things that Jesus was doing. We notice pretty straight up right in the beginning that Jesus comes to deliver people from the demonic oppression that has held them captive, and he comes to heal their broken bodies and to restore them to a place of dignity within their own communities. And more importantly, he comes to preach a gospel of good news that they can be restored, not only restored to fullness of life here, but they can be restored to relationship with God like a father with his children. Here it is, Father's Day 2020, and Father's Day falls right at the summer solstice. It's like a perfect weekend, isn't it? Gorgeous weather out here. Flowers are great. And as Richard said, just blooming in the fields. It's beautiful. We got mulch delivered to our house yesterday, and that smell of fresh mulch. Oh, don't you love it? Everything is perfect, right? Father's Day. And here we are in church on Father's Day in the Father's house. What a beautiful thing. I tell you that this is part of the privilege that we have as believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, is that we have been restored to a relationship with God through Christ's work on Calvary's cross. We've been restored to this relationship with God, which gives us a new sense of dignity. Many of you, many of us have struggled with our own sense of personal worth. Have you ever found yourself measuring yourself up against somebody else and coming up wanting? Ever taken a look at your life and your achievements and your current achievements perhaps, or what your prospects look like right now? Ever measured those up and found yourself wanting? Ever found yourself in a crowd of people feeling like you don't belong? You ever been shamed by your past and thought to yourself, I can't let anybody know. If they ever found out who I was or what I did, my relationships would be undone. You ever been in a close or an intimate relationship with somebody, but you're hiding things that you don't want them to know? I want you to know that Jesus has come to restore us, and he's come to heal us. When he came to bring us this new relationship with the Father, to bring us through the power of repentance and forgiveness of sins, to bring us into relationship with the Father, he didn't stop with that. He came to bring restoration in all of our relationships. He came to bring us healing from our own failure. And I believe that's what he wants to do today. In these two stories, we see two different kinds of healing necessary. The first one is this leper. And we don't have leprosy here on Cape Cod that I'm aware of. Maybe there are some cases somewhere, but they would be very, very unusual, and they probably would have come here from somewhere else. It's not an issue that we deal with so much in our region, but in other regions of the world, leprosy still exists. And we've probably all heard about it and probably read about it, but for the sake of the children in the room who don't know what leprosy is, I'll just explain. Back in Jesus' day, there were skin diseases that that people would contract, and somehow, whatever it was that brought that about, brought about a real disease that would render people's skin so bad that it would actually fall off. Skin and essentially, I guess it had something to do with the nervous system, and the nervous system would fail, and people would bang themselves against things and wouldn't feel it, and then they'd get infections, and the infections wouldn't heal, and eventually people could lose limbs because of it. And it was a very scary disease, and because of that disease, people were really separated from one another. Nowadays, we have currently in the world a disease like an influenza disease, some kind of coronavirus, and we all wearing these masks so we don't infect one another. Back in those days, if you had leprosy, you had to move out of town, you had to isolate, you couldn't be with anybody, there was total distancing, you're never allowed back again, and leprosy was incurable. Couldn't fix it, couldn't heal it. The doctors didn't know what to do with it. Imagine an isolation for something you didn't even do. How do you get it? It just happened. And then suddenly you have it, you can't get rid of it. Can you imagine the awful feeling of desperation in your heart if you were to be isolated forever? Your businesses fail, your relationships fail, you can't be around your children or your spouse. Some people would anyway and risk it. But the community would expel you. And according to the law of the land, you weren't allowed to come anywhere near anybody. And if you came to town, you had to ring bells saying, look, I have leprosy, so everybody could move out the way. Jesus, when he came, he didn't leave that man in the condition that he was in, because he came to restore. He came to restore. And he came to restore the dignity within society of those who would believe in him. I want you to know that we don't necessarily have leprosy today, but some of us perhaps can think of a friend, or maybe it's even in our own lives. There are things that we are ashamed of, that we are things in our past. Maybe it's something that brings about an exile of shame or fear or aloneness. Maybe it's an addiction. Maybe it's a besetting sin. Maybe it's a past that just simply can't be overcome. I want you to know that Jesus comes to heal. Now, the interesting thing about the fellow who had that leprosy was that when he heard that Jesus was in the neighborhood, he found Jesus. And when he found Jesus, he cried out to him saying, heal me. That's profound. I want you to know that healing is here. Jesus is here. If you're struggling with this kind of besetting issue, cry out to Jesus. Nobody else can do it for you. Cry out to Jesus. Jesus will stretch out his hand and he will touch you. Unlike others who may not come anywhere near you, Jesus comes to embrace you. Now, the other fellow, he had a withered hand, and he makes me think more about failures in things that we do that causes our confidence to shrink. Maybe it's a business exercise or something we tried, an endeavor that failed, and we become a little withered up. We're scared to try it again. Something, maybe a relationship, maybe a mediocre marriage. Anybody ever struggle with that? Don't you dare raise your hand. But ever struggle with a mediocre marriage, and it's just, you know, you've tried so many times, and it just keeps failing. So it withers, it shrivels, it just withers up. And you're walking around in that marriage, committed to it, but you don't really feel like it's not even worth trying anymore. Maybe distant or shallow relationships that you have with family members or colleagues, or maybe visionless parenting. Maybe your parenting has just been so difficult, and you're just so tired, you're just giving up. You're like, I don't want to deal with that anymore. I just think every time we try to get the kids to understand or whatever, it just turns into a big old fight, and you know what, I'm just tired of that. I'm done with that. Shriveled hand. Your strength has been reduced. Your productivity is diminished. Your sense your sense of hope is cut in half. Maybe it's a dull or a lackluster job. Maybe it's buried talents, things that you once tried and never thought you could really do that, so you bury them and you leave them there. Maybe it's abandoned dreams. I want you to know that Jesus has come to heal that. Jesus has come to heal it. Now, we can't take away from the fact that there really was a man with a literal withered hand, and Jesus said to him, stretch out your hand. And when he stretched it out, it was healed. A friend of mine was preaching a sermon a couple of years ago. I heard him preach this, and it was the takeaway point, and I loved it, and I am going to pass it on to you from him. He said, sometimes our miracle waits until we stretch out our hand. And that's the big takeaway point here today. Is Jesus wants to come and heal you, but you know what? It's going to take an exercise of faith on your part to try again. With that mediocre marriage, maybe it's time to try again. Not a different marriage. I'm talking about the same marriage. Maybe it's time to try some things that you failed at before. Maybe it's time to put a little effort into it, and maybe you'll discover that Jesus will do the miracle part and allow you to gain your strength back. I want to give you that admonition because I believe that the Lord wants to heal you. If you're here today and you're struggling with one of these things and it seems to strike home, then there is a way for you to find the Lord. For the first guy, he heard that Jesus was coming in his community, and so he ran to wherever Jesus was. The second guy was going to synagogue. As it turns out, he was in the synagogue, and Jesus came to the synagogue. He just positioned himself in a place where, well, he knew God was there, so it'd be kind of like coming to church. You're not quite sure if Jesus is going to show up in power or not. I mean, he does, but you just don't know if he's going to manifest that power in your life or not. But faithfulness in coming to the house of the Lord, you know what? He was in the right place at the right time. But I'm going to tell you that there was something else here. When Jesus called him, Jesus kind of made it a public challenge. He kind of presented this guy in front of everybody. He looked at him and he said, oh, here's a guy with a withered hand. And then he said to everybody else, well, do you think that God is okay to heal on a Sabbath? Or, you know, what do you guys think? And they all kind of looked at him. And Jesus was grieved over their dullness, their hardness of heart. And then he turned to this guy and he made a public spectacle of him. And he said, here, come on, stand up here. Come on over here. And the guy came over. When Jesus calls, you need to answer. When Jesus calls, you need to answer. There's an obedience that comes as a part of your healing process. First, you've got to learn to obey the Lord. If he calls you, then come. Now, I can't translate that into what it means for your life and practical measures. We don't have time for that. You've got to do that yourself. That's your homework today. But if Jesus is calling you, you should answer. And then when Jesus says, stretch out your hand, you've got a choice to make. You can either say, nah, tried that before, it didn't work. Or you can say, yes, Lord. I've tried this a million times before and it never worked, but today I'm going to trust you and I'm going to try it again. Now, will Jesus heal us every single time? Well, I don't know. The Apostle Paul tried to get the Lord to heal him. He cried out to God, heal me, Lord. His thorn in the flesh, I don't know what that actually meant, what that thorn in the flesh was, but we do know 3 times he cried out to the Lord and 3 times the Lord said to him, no. But I'm going to tell you that until you have a no from the Lord, you need to stretch out your hand. If God says to you no, then he'll give you the grace to handle your no. But until you hear the no from the Lord, don't give up. Don't give up. Jesus is here to heal you. So, my friends, this admonition is 15 minutes long, and it is now finished. Did I do it? Maybe. Not quite. Would you pray with me? Father God, we look to you. You are our strength. You are our song. Today we ask, heal the broken places in our lives. Give us back our strength, we pray. There are things that we have become accustomed to. We have been settling with things that you've come to heal. I pray that you would stir faith in our hearts again today, that we would not be afraid, but that hearing your voice, we would come to you. Jesus, heal us, deliver us, restore us, redeem us. In your holy name we pray. Amen.